Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Lost in the radio.
We're ready to go. Season 9, episode 17, recording date. Who cares about the recording date? How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I'm all right. Tired. Long week. But Dustin, how are you?
Good, man.
So let's get right to it. Dustin, I think we had a good week. Did we have views?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were around 1,500.
Nice. Nice. So if you're new here, thank you. Please subscribe. That's the important thing. We need you to subscribe. That's what YouTube's all about. So if you like it and you came back for another episode, please just subscribe. And then you don't have to come back if you don't want to. No, we like the views. We appreciate you being here. And we have new people actually leaving comments in the YouTube that we'll get to later. But it's really cool of you to do that. Just my brain is so addled because of all the news. You know, I come right in here after doing a radio show and there's just so much news. Like news stuff that we don't ever talk about. We do talk about these things, though. Quentin Tarantino was supposed to make his 10th and final film, and it was going to be called The Movie Critic, and it was going to star Brad Pitt and Shane Gillis, right?
Yeah.
And that's been tabled. He just doesn't want to make the movie now. So back to the drawing board for Tarantino.
I wonder if he'll release it as a book or something.
He might. It's interesting that he had hyped it all up, and then he's like, no, I changed my mind.
Yeah, good for him. He wants his last movie to be something really cool, I guess.
His last couple of movies have been really cool.
All right, but this is just going to be his last movie ever.
Yeah.
It sounded like he was going to go the Kevin Smith route. He was going to bring in every character from, or all the characters from all the different Quentin Tarantino movies.
I want to have Shane. No. I want to have Jay and Silent Bob in my movie, okay? And that's what it's going to be all about. So,
I can't do his voice either. I always say I can't do these voices. If I practiced, I could be able to. I've been practicing Bill Maher for a week, and I still don't have it. So I might cheat later when we talk about
it. Just steal Norm's impression of Quentin Tarantino.
And what separates me, okay, from, like, Hollywood directors, okay, is that I have a huge head, all right? Okay, now I don't mean I have a big ego, okay, because I don't, all right? I mean my actual head is huge, all right?
Yeah, his was fantastic. That's probably the best I've ever heard, actually. Kanye West is in the news again. He's going to be starting a, for some reason, he wants to start a porn company. Who knows? He just says things and then it becomes news. And he's going to try to partner with Stormy Daniels. She's not doing porn anymore. So I guess he'll work with her husband, who's one of those suitcase pimps, right? You know, those guys that when I guess, you know, the suitcase pimps used to come to the old radio station with the porn stars and they would just sit there. So they'd carry around all their stuff. The worst evidence of that was Katie Morgan, was that her name?
She talks like this.
Yeah, she came in one time and she was all fucked up. And the guy was real protective of her. Like Steve, Southside Steve, would always kind of like, you know, do jokes and stuff, cringy type jokes with these porn stars. And most of them played along. She wasn't. And she just had her dumb dog. I wonder what happened to her. Hope she's still alive. But the other thing, but my point about Kanye starting porn is, how do you make money on porn now? Everything is on Pornhub. I guess there's still companies that make it and sell it. They have whatever. I don't know what they're called. Jeff's favorite is Team Skeet, but he only likes the Skeet. OnlyFans put the ball in the court of the creator, the content creator. So women have their own agency now. And isn't that what it should be, is that women have their own agency and it's not just a bunch of, you know, creepy dudes making the movies and taking advantage of them? So
skimming 60% off the top.
Is that what? Yeah, they take a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
But they still make a lot. If you're a top 1%, I guess you make a shitload of money. But, and you know, we live in an age where you don't get shamed anymore. So one day after you're done, you know, messing around with the dragon thing, you can end up being a president of the United States. So one can only hope that happens. I think it'll happen, that you'll eventually have a senator or a governor or somebody in government who has just tons and tons of weird stuff in their social media profile.
You get elected president?
No, I'll never get elected president because I have too many things in my social media footprint that I don't want anybody to see.
Yeah, that Bad Dragon video is amazing.
Yeah, no, I can't believe I got that many likes. I think I got 400 likes, all from the same guy. That was hard, man. Can you do that again? Bad Dragon, those are disgusting. I don't know what you're talking about anyway.
Yeah.
There's another Yeezy story, Kanye story, yay, whatever he wants to call himself. He said something ridiculous about the former president and first lady. He said he wanted to have a threesome with Michelle and Barack, and he actually wrote a rap song. Sort of sounds like him, but not really, but that'll be coming up later in the show. Anyhow, Drew Carey went and saw his first Phish show in Las Vegas at the Sphere. Have you guys seen any of those videos from the Sphere? Don't they look cool?
Yeah.
Could you imagine being on a psychedelic drug and looking up and seeing the stuff that that you see?
Going to the car wash?
Yeah.
Giant dog licking the camera?
That one was freaky. I like that one. I mean, if you can afford it, why not? You know, and you don't have a three-year-old. And you're like, bye, honey. Bye, baby. I'm going to see Phish in Las Vegas. I think that's what my dad did. My dad is in Vegas right now. I think he and my stepmom went there to see Phish. All the shows, they're there. My dad's, he's spun. You know, he's a 79-year-old wook, probably doing a lot of ketamine out there, getting into a K-hole and grooving like Drew Carey. This was his first show, and then he went on After Midnight and talked about it. But he had some funny tweets. I swear, I just talked to God. I would give you all my money, stick my dick in a blender, and swear off pussy for the rest of my life in exchange for this. I don't know about that. Maybe is at our age, yeah. Bro, I met God tonight for real. I feel like I just got saved by Jesus. No lie. No, it wasn't Jesus. It was just Trey Anastasio. And then this other tweet is, this is what it must feel like to come with a pussy. Because this guy hosts The Price is Right. Now, Bob Barker never tweeted anything like this as far as I could tell. Or he never wrote a book about it. Maybe when he saw Frank Sinatra for the first time. This is what it must feel like to come with a pussy. Because if it's even close, I'm flying. He wrote flaying. To wherever tomorrow, getting the best pussy money can buy. I don't need to be a man no more. Of it means I can feel like this all the time. Fucking keep it, bro. If I can get this feeling instead, that was God at work or something. Like, it felt like I was being saved by Jesus. No lie. Or no cap if you're young. That's interesting. That your very first show, that is what happens to you. My very first Grateful Dead show, I just sat back and looked at Jeff's broken nose, and I didn't feel like I was in heaven, but I enjoyed it. And my first Phish show, I didn't know any of the songs unless they were covers, and I enjoyed that too. But I guess it wasn't at the Sphere. Have the Dead played there yet, or are they going to play there?
No, they're going to play there.
Man, that would be kind of cool to go see, as long as John Mayer isn't there. He's going to be there, though, isn't he? He's going to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, so Drew Carey is now a spun wook, and he's hanging out with my dad in Las Vegas, and they're playing quarter slots.
Boy, I don't know, man. That was fun. I really love that. They did a 30-minute tweezer reprise. That was pretty good there.
Yeah, what an awesome place for a first show, though.
No doubt. They won't be doing it on TikTok because the Senate voted and Joe Biden, President Biden, signed the bill that gives ByteDance a short amount of time to piss off all of the Democratic voters, because most Democratic voters are young people and most of you, the people on TikTok, are young people. And if it gets banned, who are they going to blame?
We're going to ban TikTok. We're going to ban TikTok. No more TikTok. Look, it's that simple. You don't go on TikTok. We're going to make it go to... What's wrong with Instagram? Why don't you like Instagram? You don't like it?
I'm pissed about it. You're not pissed about it, you guys?
Yeah, it just seems shitty thing to do because nobody here is making any money off of it.
No, that's the problem. And nobody has a problem with Mark Zuckerberg having all your details or whoever it is that runs Google or any of these other apps. It's just because they can't get into the data. And then they have to make up excuses as to why TikTok is bad for kids.
Larry Google. You run Google.
I'm Larry Google, and you know, I think you ought to try to use Google Docs. We got a calendar. We got email still, you know. We're on YouTube if you want to do that, too.
A lot of people make money on TikTok, you know, whether it's a side hustle or it's...
There's tons of commercials and shit on there and people selling stuff.
Yeah, but also people generate revenue for themselves just by being creators.
Yeah.
And all those people are going to have to go migrate to some shitty platform that isn't easy. That's the thing about TikTok that I like, is that it's easy and they curate your algorithm so you don't see what you don't want to see and you do see what you do want to see. And if something comes in that doesn't really float your boat, you can say you don't want to see it and you don't get it again. That's the thing. That's what I like about it. I resisted it for a long time because I thought it was just, you know, dancing, but I guess that's what it was. But there's lots of interesting things on there. Like I said, you can watch people open baseball cards. You can watch people making prank phone calls. You can watch a girl jiggle in a pool. That's not in my feed, but that's an option if you want. Jeff likes to watch people open quarters, the rolls of quarters.
No, you're watching the people open the baseball cards.
I have. And once you watch one of them, shit, that's everything in there. Hey guys, we got a whole bunch of shit to sell.
I only watch the "Hey, we're Costco guys" videos.
What's "Hey, we're Costco"?
Hey, we're Costco guys. Of course, we shop while eating a chicken bake.
Do you peruse TikTok a lot, Dustin? I know you probably work harder than either of us.
I'll flip through it, but I mean, the algorithm is what's good about TikTok. You don't have to hunt for things; they bring it to you. And
yeah,
no matter if they do move to another platform, you're not getting that sweet Chinese algorithm that comes with it.
Well, the guy that runs it in the United States said that they're not going to sell it. So get ready for it to go away. So that sucks.
And bring back Vine.
Vine was only 7 seconds long. And Will
Sasso was make it longer now.
Well, TikTok is, or Twitter is going to introduce a new thing, a TV thing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That makes sense. And maybe that'll be where everybody goes. I hate Elon Musk. He's a right wing, blah, 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 blah. But he will pay better than ByteDance does. I get you.
Okay, let's talk about the Podverse, the Podcastverse, the podcast universe.
For the longtime listeners, I hope that you don't hate that we talk about, because I don't watch a lot of TV anymore. I listen and watch podcasts. I don't know why. I don't know when that happened, but it just happened. And I want to talk about them. Do you guys care?
I'm really mad about it.
No, you're not. Liar. All right. Well, let's start with Doozy. Doozy has had its 100th episode last week. 2 weeks ago, it was called Doozy Mania. Then they took a week off and they came back with Doozy 101. And they're doing a wrestling kayfabe thing. Will is no longer listening to Doozy. And of course, they have a new slogan. It's the FWO, the free will order. Free will, no more Doozy telling him what to do, and of course to sell more merch. One thing I noticed this week, and Dustin, you watch it every week, right?
Yeah.
A lot of commercial ad reads, whereas they didn't used to have so many, or they would do them with AI. And in this episode, hardly any AI at all.
Yeah, he was, I think... Yeah, well, that, and anytime Doozy would suggest anything, it was like, no, I won't do that, or I'll quit the show.
Yeah, well, I think that's a work.
I think it's going back and forth between those two. I think they they kind of have their arguments on stage.
They do. And yeah, they do. I think it has a lot to do with that Carlin thing. I think that probably scared Will way more than it scared Chad.
Yeah. Well, I think it embarrassed Will more just because he's in the industry.
Professional actor by trade, as he says.
Yeah.
But he did do some funny Arnold. But yeah, I think it kind of scared him a little bit. But I like that stuff. The Tom Haines stuff, all that's gone. The Miley Cyrus stuff, that's gone. And there were just a large amount of commercial reads. I felt like I was watching something with Bert Kreischer in it.
I think they really shot themselves in the foot with this, and they're just trying to constantly build everything back.
You mean the Carlin thing?
Yeah. I mean, they had to admit that, you know, none of it was, other than the voice, was AI, and that Chad
Yes. It parallels what happened to the WWF in the 1980s when Linda and Vince had to testify that everything was fake and they broke kayfabe. Well, that's what's happening with Dudesy. It's the same thing. Parallel lines. That's what's happening.
Makes sense.
I don't know what kayfabe is, and at this point, I'm too scared to ask.
Kayfabe is the term that they use in professional wrestling. They don't really know the origin. Some say it comes from Pig Latin. It's a bastardization of Pig Latin for fake, ake fay. But kayfabe, selling the gimmick that everybody knows wrestling isn't real, and so they all kept it kayfabe. That's what they called it. Keep it kayfabe. Don't spill the beans. But then a lot of stuff started happening in the 80s, like Iron Sheik getting pulled over and arrested with Hacksaw Jim Duggan in New Jersey with the cocaine, but they were mortal enemies. Do you remember when that came out in the newspaper? And I was like, what the hell? They're supposed to hate each other. Oh. But that's what kayfabe means. And they talk about it a lot on Dudesy. For JRE, did anybody watch JRE? There's been about three or four different episodes in the last week and a half.
I only caught pieces of the Tucker Carlson one.
Yeah, I watched that one in sound bites. I can't take 3 hours of that.
He didn't deny evolution.
Who, Tucker?
Yeah.
I don't know. I watched where he was talking about the Grateful Dead, because he's a deadhead, and I didn't know the origin of that. His father used to write for a newspaper in San Francisco, and then one day they were in D.C., and his dad was in D.C., and Jerry stopped by his office because he was friends with him. And so he called his kids, and they came down, and that's where they got the picture of Jerry. But he told a funny story about going to a Dead show and leaving his 14-year-old brother in the parking lot while he went in, and then got all spun out on mushrooms and freaked out and came out and couldn't find him. There was a lot of UFO and conspiracy talk, and I don't know. I can't, like I said, I can't digest the whole thing. I want to watch the whole episode with Neil Brennan. What did he say about Saturday Night Live, Neil Brennan?
They said they were handcuffing themselves for network TV.
You mean just being woke or something stupid like that?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it was more so. I think they were talking back when, when Norm got fired from SNL, and it was only because of relationships in the executive side of SNL, friends with OJ, and so it was more of a, well, he can't express himself, you know, and do comedy because of someone's personal issue,
right?
So
right.
They got rid of him. So that's a handcuff. And then he said, from that point all the way forward, it's just been one thing after another. Woke being one of them.
Yeah,
yeah.
I still watch it clips. I don't stay up late and watch it, but I'll watch it on YouTube and stuff. Every once in a while, there's something that's really funny. More often than not, I didn't like that Beavis and Butthead sketch.
And that was funny.
I thought they looked funny, but everything around it, I didn't. Keenan was funny too. Okay, so those two things were funny, but that lady's reaction just didn't drove me crazy. What's her name? The actress, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I forget what her name is.
And we don't even know the names of these people. But who said it? I was listening to the Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast, and I think it was Lorraine Newman. She was a guest because she was on an episode in season two. And she said everybody's favorite era of Saturday Night Live is when they were in high school. And I think she has a good point there, because I love the original Not Ready for Primetime Players. But really, you talk about that Dick Ebersol era. That's when I really started watching it all the time. Couldn't miss it. That was Eddie Murphy, Joe Piscopo, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And then I think 85 rolled around, and that's when Lorne came back, and I still enjoyed it. But those two or three years that Ebersol ran the show, that's like what I go to. I mean, Jeff, I would go to Jeff's like as many Saturday nights as I could, and we would just stay up late and watch it. And then we would watch a really bad HBO movies with boobs in them.
We never did that.
No, Jeff always wanted to watch that movie, Making Love. That was his thing. Remember that movie, Making Love, from the 80s?
I don't remember the title. I don't know what the movie's about.
It was some movie where, like, there was a hot gay sex scene in it, and we turned it on, and we were watching it, and as soon as the guy started making out, we went, ah! Shut it off.
Like me watching Baby Reindeer?
No! No! Now, we would never do that today because we're diverse or whatever. Or, I don't know, tolerant. We were kids. Of course, it freaked us out. I did the same thing during Personal Best, which was another movie we stayed up late to try to watch. Hey, I got up at 4 a.m. to watch Blue Lagoon, and my mom caught me, and I got in a lot of trouble. All right.
Her name's Heidi Gardner. And the thing is that in the dress rehearsal, he didn't have the full makeup.
Okay.
So she didn't see.
Thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She only saw the wig and a little bit of the face, but he saved the real face, the Beavis face, to do live on the air.
Yeah.
That's what cracked her up.
All right. Another podcast that I tried to watch and could not finish because I don't like the host anyway, but he had a guest on and I'm like, oh, holy cow, I'll check this out. Bill Maher, Club Random, had John Fogerty on. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. I like Creedence. I'm like the dude, you know, I had a Creedence tape or two in my life. Never got lost though. And so I can't do an impression of him. I can't do it. I cannot fucking do it. It drives me nuts. I practiced all week long and I can't get it. I'm not going to steal from Kyle Dunnigan because Kyle Dunnigan does the best one. He has the mouth. Okay. See, it's terrible. Why can't I do it? This is me off. But the thing that I take away from this show, and this is something I noticed, is that Bill Maher is like a guy that thinks he has an audience around him at all times. So he's asking stupid questions, unrelated questions, things that are confusing John Fogerty. And he'll make his point and he starts up here and he comes down here. And that's the way to do him. I just can't get the right tone or whatever. Because he starts up here and then he comes down here. And it's that condescension that's way up here and then it's down here. But he's asking all these weird questions and stuff. And Fogerty's just a super nice guy.
Yeah, Rob Lowe did a really good interview with John Fogerty.
Rob Lowe, surprisingly, his interviews are great. I think Rob Lowe's a great interviewer. I never thought he would be, but he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a huge Fogerty fan, too, so that was a really good interview.
Okay, but did he ask him about Trump?
No.
I should just watch Kyle Dunnigan, but you can't really cheat. That's how a lot of people who do impressions, like, really, really well, they cheat. And I don't want to do that. But anyway, he had him on there and he never shuts up. But he does all these things. Like John Fogerty walks in, he goes, oh, that's a nice shirt. Yeah, that's a nice shirt. And he's like, I don't make them anymore. I have to have my wife make them. Oh, that's nice. Uh-huh. And then he's always fiddling with stuff. He'll have a glass and he wants you to see what's in his glass. He's like, yeah, he's like almost putting it in his face. I'm pouring some liquid into this glass. And then I have these little drops that I'm going to put in this glass, you know, because I don't like stevia. Stevia is too sweet. And it has too many chemicals in it. So he's doing all that stuff. And he's, you know, he's moving around and talking about Trump. And then he says something. He starts talking about Fortunate Son that Trump used to play, which is ironic because Trump doesn't know any thing about that song. He doesn't know what it means. And Bill Maher says, well, it's sort of like Richmond north of Richmond. It's like Fortunate Son. And Fogerty's like, yeah, I haven't heard that song. I know about it. I heard about it, but I've never heard that song. Well, it's sort of like that. Of course, he's talking about the rich men up in D.C. And then they just started talking about Trump. And you could tell that Fogerty was a little and just not interested in talking. You know, he didn't want to talk politics so much. You know how he feels about things. And I think he knows that. He's just a musician. He wants to talk about music and songs and shows he's been on. And then the one thing that was really annoying is he finally brings, he goes, I got you a shirt, man. He had his wife makes and they sell these shirts that look like old Creedence shirts. And he gave one. And then Bill's like, oh, I didn't know you were in the schmuckwakwa industry. So
you are in a clothing, in the shmata business now?
Shmata?
I love it. You don't know anything about the Jews, do you? I'm not even Jewish. Shmata is like, that's like, you know, the clothing rag, the or, rag industry.
Right.
You know, that,
that's the Jews. I'm not Jewish, but I know the things the Jews like, you know, garments. So anyway, that annoyed me. Fly on the Wall was a really good episode this week. Dave Attell, not Red Barr doing an impression of Dave Attell, but the actual Dave Attell, who's been doing tons and tons of podcasts. It's so weird to see him do so many.
Yeah, I'm sure it has people put him on a junket for to promote his new special.
I know, but he's done a ton of them.
Yeah.
He's like Dusty Slay. Dusty Slay's on every podcast now, too, except this one. Hey, I gave him props. Anyway. But that was a good episode. I didn't watch the Kill Tony. So what were Dave and Spade talking about?
Oh, no, just the Kill Tony episode that Spade and Attell did together.
Yeah, they sort of sounded like they didn't really enjoy it all that much.
No. I guess that was Spade's first time, maybe.
Uh-huh.
It was, they weren't very receptive to... Again, I think it was like we were talking about last week, where a generation that just doesn't get Dave Attell, and then you stick David Spade with him, and it's like,
oh,
they really didn't. I mean, they came out, and it was like, Dave Attell, and everybody claps and everything else, and they go to sit down, and they're almost completely set, and he goes, oh, David Spade.
Yeah. And they're like, who? How did I know David Spade? Didn't they watch Just Shoot Me?
Yeah, or any of Adam Sandler's 16 grown-up movies.
Yeah. What about Joe Dirt? Joe Dirt's one of the best movies about Joe Dirt ever made.
It's better than Joe Dirt 2.
It's way better than Joe Dirt. Joe Dirt's a funny movie. I mean, not all that great. Some of the comments on their on the Fly on the Wall were funny. Pro tip, if Dana and David or any of their guests for some reason have to talk to Bill Maher, to avoid having Bill trampling over your comments, always preface your statements by expressing to Bill that you think he is so funny. This will shut him up long enough and allow you to say something without being interrupted. Thank me later. Yeah, I wonder if David Sell's going to be doing my show. Another comment that I liked is, I appreciate you addressed how cold Kill Tony is, both physically and emotionally. That was the therapy I needed to recover from those haunting hours of my life watching the only episode of Kill Tony I will ever watch. It bothers me that those younger male comics who clearly have a lot to learn didn't respect you two more. Bastards. Another guy, well, Neil Brennan, who's you guys both fans of his?
Yeah.
Since Chappelle Show, I guess, about where I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know me, I went through that whole phase of not watching or paying any attention to comedy, so these guys are all new to me. Like Andrew Schultz, who for some reason everybody hates. I don't know anything about him. I don't know why people hate him. I know he got popular during the pandemic, or, you know, did a lot during the pandemic, but I don't know why people would hate him. Do you guys hate him? I don't know anything about him.
His comedy is, I mean, every time I see a clip of him in a club anywhere, he's doing crowd work. Like, that's all.
Okay. Oh, so it's all crowd work. Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
All crowd work. I like crowd work. Dave Attell and Todd Barry both do really good crowd work. So Neil Brennan is on the latest episode of Two Bears, One Cave. And you guys, if you haven't watched it, just go to the 2:45 mark where Neil Brennan starts playing AI Bert stuff because Bert Kreischer isn't there.
And they said Bert was sick or something. Was that fake?
I don't know.
That's Tom's kayfabe. Every time that Bert is out, he says he's out for a new reason. Last time he was getting his kidney replaced.
Yeah, this time it's sort of colon problem.
This time it's a mental breakdown or something.
Yeah, a mental breakdown is what it was. So they use that AI audio app that I've used in the past, you know, when I did all the Theo Vaughn videos. Actually, somebody emailed me today and said, can you make more of those? And I said, well, I kind of got bored with it. I did it just to make me laugh, and I'm glad somebody actually liked it. But anyway, Neil has a bunch of Bert jokes, and one of them is like, I love Hitler more than life itself or something like that. They're very funny. And course, that's as much of it as I'm going to watch because I'm a clip guy. I'm a clip guy. I'm not a clipper. We're not clippers, are we? Are we classified as clippers now?
No.
Okay. You know, like Comedy Enforcement and Too Lazy to Try and Podcast Cringe. Those guys, they're the clippers, right? They clip and talk.
Yeah, we're definitely not clippers.
Yeah. You have the clap, if that counts.
I am a clapper. Clap on, clap off. Here's a comment under that Neil Brennan, Two Bears, One Cave. Can AI be funny? I don't know. But can it be funnier than Bert? Most definitely. And I got to tell you, the jokes that they were writing and having the AI say are actually funnier than a lot of the jokes. Anyway, Comedy Enforcement. Like I said, I don't know enough about Andrew Schultz. So that was his most recent episode. I do like his show. These guys, like I said last week, they put a lot of work in. And they do a lot of work. Too Lazy to Try. His video was interesting to watch. Howie Mandel is a shitty podcast guest. And he made good evidence for that. Howie doesn't have to do podcasts. Ever. But he hosts his own with his daughter. That's actually kind of funny. And they usually have good guests. And like anything, it depends on the host and it depends on the guest. For instance, the two episodes of the Harlan Highway that have Howie on are both amazingly funny because it's Harlan and it's Howie and they're doing improv and having fun. I don't know if it's real or not, but the hanging with Dr. Z with Howie was weird and contentious. Did you watch that, Jeff?
No, I haven't seen that one.
You got to watch it because it's either Howie being confrontational for no reason or it's a joke, and it doesn't seem that way because all the guests are a little weird when they're on that show, but then again they're talking to a guy in an orangutan suit.
Yeah,
I wish there was more episodes. If I could give him $1 million to make, you know, 1,000 episodes of that, I would. So there's a lot of these types of podcasts out there. We had been talking about Red Bar, or I had, because I'm sort of fascinated with that show, and I don't know that I'm going to join Scars Club, which is, I guess you get to watch it live or get access to the whole video or stuff. But there's a lot of clippers out there who post some of the stuff on there. I think it's fun to watch that guy. You want to say something?
Yeah, I found that out too. All the Red Bar doesn't put anything on YouTube at all.
Nothing.
He just lets fans clip it and they put it on there. So that's his clippers. Yeah.
Right, right. I enjoy it. I like what he has to say. There's another show I said stumbled into my algorithm the other day. It's more of a Howard Stern related, but it's the same amount of time. It's like 7 hours long. But it's more into that Howard Stern universe of people. And those guys have all done their own shows. All these guys that used to work for Stern, you know, Stuttering John has one. And then there's a show that makes fun of Stuttering John. John Hine has one. It's crazy. No, not John Hine. Shuley. Anyway, this guy, he came in. He didn't have tons of views, so I thought I'd give him a plug. His name is Matty D. And it made a really good point, is that maybe we've reached peak review. And he's not just talking about podcasts and stuff, but he's like, what's going to happen when all these comedians stop doing podcasts? What are these cottage industries going to do? I guess they'll have to find something else to do.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of strange. It's like it's building up to nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're jumping on it right at the right time.
Yeah, that's true. We're at the basic.
We're not really doing that. We're not really doing that because it takes a lot of time to sit down and not only watch an entire podcast, but to clip it and then talk about it and then reference it and bring all these other things in. And what I'm saying is I wish I didn't have a job.
You're fired.
All right. Thank you. One of my favorite non-comedy podcasts right now is called Professor of Rock. Do either of you watch that? Have you watched that show?
I watched a little of that one you sent me.
Did you like it?
I watched it for a couple of years.
Yeah, see, Dustin's well ahead of the curve. But Adam Reeder, I don't watch these music podcasts because usually the people who host them are a little bit smug. Maybe they know way more about music than you do, and they're going to let you know you didn't know that. Adam Reeder is not like that at all. He's friendly. He's likable. He's very knowledgeable about the subject, but he doesn't have that douche vibe. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yep. If this show had been around 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, he would have been on VH1.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, because I always judge. I'm terrible. I'd look at me if I didn't know me. It's because this guy's wearing a Falcons hoodie and his hair looks like shit. I can't watch this. Adam wears a fedora, and I see that. I'm like, oh yeah, music guy. But I got past it because I'm, you know, not as big as a jerk as I used to be.
Maybe he's a driving crooner.
He might be. He doesn't have a fake cigar though. Maybe we could send him one. But he does know a lot about music, and I stumbled upon him in the algorithm, and that's why I'm digging YouTube now. I used to like YouTube because it was for conspiracies and stuff. That's all gone. Or they're slicker now. But I do like him. And one of the most recent ones he did was he hates ABBA, but he forced himself to talk about things. And I didn't know that ABBA only had one number one song in the United States. They have so many hits, and we know all those songs, but Dancing Queen was their number one hit here. And I didn't know that he hated him, but he said he's coming around to him.
I hated ABBA when I was a kid.
You did? I loved them. I don't know.
Because of the backwards beat. That was the only reason I hated them.
On the album, the backwards beat? I could get that. Yeah, when things aren't lined up properly, hating them is important. I get it. The Ooga Chaka version of Hooked on a Feeling. I watched that one. That was awesome. A lot of BJ Thomas. And he's not pulling clips from old interviews. He's talking to these people, which I thought was really cool. And that was Blue Swede. Ooga Chaka, Ooga, Ooga, Ooga Chaka. And then there's a song I'd never heard in my life called DOA by a band called Blood Rock from 1971. It is the most disturbing song I've ever heard in my life. And if you haven't heard it, listen to it. It's about a guy who witnessed a plane crash, and then he puts himself in the singer puts himself in the position of the guy laying there dying while the fire department and people show up. It's fucking disturbing. And they played this on a radio and it was a mild hit. No thanks. So that's all I got for podcast this week. What one did I send to you? It was Al Stewart. You're the cat. He was talking to Al Stewart. I thought that was pretty cool. You met Al Stewart and got to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Did he play You're the Cat or did he big time you?
No, he played Big Deer the Cat.
Of course he did. You can't go anywhere. I can't play that one. I'm not into that one at all. And I just like that little bit of knowledge talking about songs and stuff. So anyway, oh, I better get out of the way.
Yeah, I don't have any idea what I'm going to do. I'm not talking about anything this week. I know you guys probably tired of me doing the Bernie. But listen, I'm trying to get into the niche. I'm trying to get into the algos. I don't know what to do. I'm taking your suggestions. But I do want to talk about how disrespectful Kanye West is. Kanye West talking about having a threesome with the lovely Michelle and the handsome Barack Obama. I think it's disgraceful. I don't want to hear any more about it. And then he sent me this song that he wrote called Hail to the Queef.
I love up all the first ladies. They my hot white house babies. From Jackie O to Dr. Jill. Hillary booty gave me a thrill. I wanna love them and leave them. No hugging, just squeezing. Just Yeezy getting skeezy. Cut loose. Get Mary Todd Lincoln my juice. Go kayaking with Barack and Michelle. Seeing the last make me swell. Nancy Reagan be begging for my sword. Down a bottle of Stoli and nail Betty Ford. I love the first ladies. Even take Kamala in a Mercedes. Roll a blunt with Lord Bush. Could finish off on a tush as much. I love the ladies. All 46 I must do. If Kamala ever gets in, do the first gentleman too. I wanna do them all in the Lincoln bedroom. Sell it on the internet, make a million boo. I'll even get down Lady Bird Johnson. Treat Pat Nixon to a night of hot fun. I got secret service inside my pants. Come home with me, do the first lady dance. They gonna be sore when the deed is done. Even Eleanor Roosevelt gonna get some. Hail to the queen.
That song was terrible. It wasn't really Kanye. It didn't even sound like it. Didn't even sound like him. All right, let's read some YouTube comments.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
Brett Perkins says, the Fallout soundtrack was excellent. We agree.
Yes.
Gwen, or
okay, were all those real songs from the 50s, or was,
yeah,
was that
most
new?
Of them? I would
most
say most
of them. The ones that weren't were real from the game soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I liked all the songs, though.
I'm just going to say Guinevere because it's not spelled like Guinevere, but maybe it is. Maybe this Guinevere spells it that way. Funniest radio I ever heard was a Howard Stern Man on the Street segment about O.J. Simpson. I laughed so hard I started crying and had to pull over. That happened to me several times while I was listening to Howard Stern back in the day. I don't imagine it would happen now. I'd probably have to pull over to figure out how to shut it off. I love this comment. Mark McWain says, I am so happy that the algorithm finally connected me to your show. I started checking out comedy-centric YouTube podcasts about 5 to 6 years ago, so I was later to podcasts in general. I'm with you there. It has only been in the last 2 to 3 years that I then found and started following comedy podcasts focused on reporting on or hating on the JRA-type podcasts. I stumbled upon Red Bar very recently, maybe 4 months ago, and I now enjoy him and Jules more than many of the comedians' podcasts. And I sort of feel that way as well. All of this is to say that your podcast, in only 2 to 3 days after seeing it for the first time, is fantastic. I am now binging as I love to do, and I would bet that your channel continues to grow at high levels because of others like me finally knowing that you exist. Thank you for the awesome content. Dude, thank you very, very much. That was really nice.
Yeah, this is the kind of comments that we want to see.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck you.
You guys suck. You're old. Go away. Nobody cares about boomer shit.
Stop telling us Red Bar's watching us.
Yes. Well, that's the thing that they do.
I know. I'm just kidding.
This I'm going to read even. Okay. It's Reezer83, and he says, Red Bar socks. But he spelled it socks, so maybe that's a joke. But he said, your voices are amazing, and your commentary is spot on. Dude, thank you very much. Plus one sub, he says. Dougie Fresh 4345 says, also Red Bar is watching. And then Roby says, who the hell is Red Bar? And then Roby says, if I get doxxed by the fans of those shows for making a joke, you guys get the hidden video footage and distribution rights. And then Dougie writes, haven't seen Fallout, but from my impression of the criticism, it's not based on it being woke, but that it's the show is canon for the game series, and in the future, make the games represent the show. Not my point, but I figured I'd make sure you weren't misrepresenting the argument. Thank you guys for leaving your YouTube comments. Let's just say, leave more comments. And if you're following us on YouTube, please make sure to subscribe and like and share with your friends. We appreciate it. And thank you to the new people who are listening or watching the show. Subscribe to it, even if you prefer listening on a podcatcher. We want to get those 1,000 subscribers so we can start getting AdSense money.
Well, those pennies, they add up, son of a bitch, don't they?
We have a Patreon. You can join that if you like. Patreon.com/Tim Andrews, where you can leave comments and watch our Patreon show that we do every week. We want to thank our producers. If you're a $25 or higher producer, then you get producer credit, and you get a t-shirt from our store and a drawing that, you know, you can just ask me to do and I'll send it to you, and some stickers. We are getting new stickers, so if you're awaiting stickers, we're going to get them printed very, very soon. Thank you to our producers, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jeff Peterson, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Mike D, and Matt Carter. So thank you guys very, very much. And I'll do the plugs here, too. If you want to hear me on the radio, I do a show called The Popcast on 95.5 WSB. My guest this week, last week, was Kevin Spencer from the band Electric Avenue. They're an MTV 80s type of band, and they do spot on performances of these songs. I think they're really, really cool. And then on the radio this week, there's a new series on YouTube, and I've been talking to this guy for quite a while, and I want to get the name exactly right, so I'm going to bring up my text here real quick. But the name of the show on YouTube that you can watch right now, the first episode of, is I Believe in Bigfoot Project. And it's interesting, and I think you guys will dig it if you're into the whole Bigfoot thing. Jeff, you're into the Bigfoot thing.
Does he go out looking for Bigfoot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, this is a guy who didn't even know he believed in Bigfoot until he went to make this movie. And he talks all about how he got into it, and now he's a true believer. His name is Kelly Lockman. He's an actor, director, and writer. So, you know, check that out, and you can listen to the podcast whenever you want on your favorite podcatcher. And then also, Trambles is a show that I do every Monday in the audio feed of Radio Labyrinth. And that's just me rambling and talking about things and complaining and making up fake car dealerships like I did this most recently. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, it's Bernie Sanders for the pod burn and all that. Spring is here, and we're excited for warmer weather. Stop in to Atlanta Pizza and Euro for one of their 16 ice-cold draft beers and ciders on tap. They do not have Bernie malt liquor yet, but we're working on it. Try one of the many local craft and domestic beers available in cans and bottles. I hope they recycle them because that's very important. Their featured selection this spring is Springwater's Their featured selection is this spring is Sweetwater Brewing's Half a Gummy Fruit Punch IPA. There's a lot to unpack there. There's a plot reference. It's IPA. It's got fruit punch, which is what you drink when you're high. You know, the guy, the Hawaiian punch guy with the hat. Delicious. It's easy drinking, sweet tasting IPA with low bitterness and delicious fruit flavors. APG is a longtime favorite of Conyers and Covington and the East Metro area of Atlanta, Georgia. They're made to order pizzas, gyros, or euros, however you say it, pasta specialties, and Greek salads are absolutely the best around. They wish to sincerely thank everybody for their business and support, both now and into the future. They have a food truck. Their events are going on regularly, but if you're interested in booking one, just contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228. Open for dine-in or takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 9, Saturday, 12 to 9, closed on Sundays. I don't know about the glory hole. You guys said earlier it was open again. I doubt it. Celebrity voice impersonating.
Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
And we're back.
You guys going to watch the Netflix Tom Brady live roast, a Netflix live event that's coming up?
I think it'd be cool to see a live roast because all these roasts you used to see on Comedy Central were heavily edited.
Yeah. Do you think AI, you're right. Do you think AI Tom Brady will be there to tell jokes? The dudesy AI Tom Brady?
Should be.
Yeah, I think it'll be funny, but they're going to tear him to pieces. I don't have the story.
It's live during the Netflix festival, whatever, the comedy festival, whatever it's called.
Okay. I was wondering because they were trying to push that boxing event as their first live event, but now this is going to.
Now, this is May 5th. And it's going to be hosted by Kevin Hart.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it'll be the first live event.
Yeah, and it'll be very, very funny, I imagine. Kevin Hart aside, it'll be funny. But Tom Brady, I hope he has a sense of humor. I just finished watching The Dynasty on Apple. I took my time with that. And what a great episode. What a great series that was.
Did you feel deflated after what you
watched? I did. I felt quite deflated, so much so that I had to spy on my neighbor. And record what they were doing. I wanted to learn how to mow my lawn like my neighbor did. But I found out that I could do an impression of Robert Kraft. Tommy was very sensitive. So he felt like Coach Belichick was being mean to him. And we didn't want to have that. And that was the end of it. Of course, you have Belichick too with the, I'm not going to answer that. We talked about that. We talked about that already. We just talked about that already. We're not going to get into that. He got all dressed up with his suit, standing up, you know, doing in the. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. Like why he benched that guy in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl for them the previous season. Anyway, but it's a great documentary. You know, I'm over my trauma as being a Bills fan of them losing those two great Super Bowls where the Giants beat them. Thank you, Jeff, for your team coming up. Yeah. Watching the Falcons one was tough. I love that scene where they show the two guys on the Falcons. I don't remember their name. The one guy goes, we got this. And the other guy goes, man, that's Tom Brady over there. We don't know. That's Tom Brady over there. And we talked about this a little bit in the beginning of the show. X is launching a TV app for videos soon, so we don't know when that's going to happen, but I think it'll be a TikTok type of thing, maybe compete with YouTube. You know, Musk pays a lot of money, so maybe we'll add that platform.
Why doesn't Elon just buy TikTok?
Because ByteDance doesn't want to sell it.
I know.
His views.
Or.
Snooze.
News. Yeah, last week was Conan O'Brien Must Go, which I watched all those. They were very funny. Mm-hmm. Rebel Moon Part 2, which I watched, unfortunately, sucked. And the Jinx Part 2, which I didn't watch. It was worse than the first one.
Oh, no. How was that even possible?
Yeah, I'll have to watch it to see, but it was so fucking boring.
What? Yeah. These are supposed to be Star Wars movies, right?
Yeah, it's so derivative of Star Wars. Yeah.
He wrote like them for Star Wars. But he did write them to be Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
He had an idea.
Yeah.
What happened to this dude, man? I love the Snyder cut of Justice League, and he did 300, which is a good movie.
Just more interesting characters, I guess.
Should I force myself?
I just didn't give a fuck about anybody in this entire movie.
All right.
Kept having these long backstories and shit. And I'm like, oh my God.
There's a scene where they sit around and before they do anything, everybody just tells their story, right?
Yeah.
Not be interesting at all. Well, Netflix paid a lot of money for
that. Yeah, I know they did.
Yeah.
And I need more Fallout. That's what I need.
Me too.
The Josh Brolin Hole show ain't going to do it for me, but I will watch the whole show. I don't even know what it's called. It's called Hole, right? Josh Brolin's Hole.
Josh Brolin's Hole.
Josh Brolin's Holes, Comcast, making all that Comcast money.
Right. So this week, the Big Door Prize comes back. Did you finish season one of that? It was very good on Apple TV.
Yeah, it was really good.
It's filmed here in Atlanta. It's about that. This mysterious machine shows up and it tells people what their fate is or what their job should be.
Oh, okay.
And everybody freaks out. It's very good.
Yeah. What else?
Dead Boy Detectives starts on 424. This was originally going to be an HBO Max spinoff of Doom Patrol.
Is it Dead Boy Detectives?
Dead Boy Detectives, yeah. It's based on a comic book by Neil Gaiman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to move to HBO Max and it's getting a full series.
Okay.
The two Dead Boy Detectives popped up in a couple episodes of Doom Patrol. So you could see where they were going to try and spin it off.
Yeah.
But then HBO Max they're cutting a lot of their original programming and the DC stuff's going away because of new DC universe. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to become part of the Sandman universe over on Netflix.
It'll probably be a snooze for me, but let me know how it is.
Yeah. The two episodes that they were on Doom Patrol were very good. So I'm looking forward to this. And then, John Mulaney's going to be on a one-off of Letterman's My Next Guest Needs No Introduction.
That'll be
on the 30th. Yeah.
I'll watch that.
That's cool.
Yep. I like it when Letterman still does stuff, and I like John Mulaney.
So. Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's just go ahead and do our staff picks. I'll do mine real quick. It's called I Believe in Bigfoot Project. It's on YouTube. You can go check it out. It's a lot of fun, and don't miss my interview with him tonight on WSB Radio 95.5. WSB.
Mine is a Rather documentary on Netflix. Comes out on the 24th.
I'd rather not watch that.
I just want to watch it to the part where it gets beat up.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Yeah. That's the stuff I want to see. Then I'll stop watching it. Now, my real stat pick is A Tale on Fly on the Wall.
What a good episode that was. Yeah. Good recommendation. Dustin, you have one?
I just finished an audiobook. It's from like the early 80s, but it's by Robert McCammon called Swan Song. It's very similar to The Stand. It's apocalyptic after a nuclear war. And it's really strange. There's a flag character. It's a small group of people that have to stand against an evil group of people. It seems.
And there's like a plague or some kind of crazy disease that. disfigures everybody.
Ravages certain members. Yeah. There's people that are trying to recover, but there's one girl that is born with the ability to bring life back into things, and these group of people have to protect her against an evil group. It's really good. It's very, very similar to The Stand, but I would like not enjoy it because it was so close, but I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was
great. This is something that where it's even if it's derivative of the thing, you'll forgive it because it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
So you've read it too?
Yeah. I read it in the 80s when it came out.
Really?
I read A Boy's Life. I got into McCammon for a while.
Yeah. He's interesting.
Who's narrating it?
I don't know their name.
Dumbass, you should know that.
I'm going to be narrating an audiobook. Did you know that?
Yeah, you talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Still working?
Well, I'm got to start recording it again. I just got all the Amazon rules and regulations from my cousin who wrote the book. And I got to follow all those. And then I'm going to get started doing it. I have to do it at night here after the show. Because if I do it too long, I got to figure out what the best way to do it is, if I should just record the narrative first and then go interject the characters. I'll figure it all out. But I am listening to a book.
Take a lot of notes.
Oh, yeah, I will.
To yourself.
It's an interesting book. Story. It's the book I'm listening to, though, to piggyback on Dustin, is We Promised You a Great Main Event, An Unauthorized History of the WWE by Bill Hanstock. And that's because, you know, when I get into something, then I got to go do the next thing part of it. And it's because I read that book by Brad Bellucci and Six Pack on the Open Road to WrestleMania, which I do recommend if you're into that era of wrestling. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you, guys. Again, thanks to all the new listeners. Please stick with us and leave us comments and stuff and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, because we'll do it. Okay?
No.
Okay, it's not okay with Jeff. That's fine. Dustin, you don't get a vote. Okay. Okay. All right, remember to keep it padded.
Well, they say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.